The topic of tonight's message is cleansing the temple. And I'm going to ask Sarah to read some for me, first starting off in 2 Chronicles 3, 15 through 19. And we're going to look at some Old Testament scriptures and about some things that they did, and also some New Testament scriptures, and just think about where it fits in with us and what we need to do ourselves, okay? You ready, sir?
Did you say 2 Chronicles?
2 Chronicles 3, 15 through 19. Okay, I might have the wrong reference then.
Maybe 1 Chronicles?
Yeah, it might be 1 Chronicles then. They gathered their brethren, sanctified themselves. Yeah. So I'll read, and then we'll figure out what the right reference is later. Okay. And I don't even know which one it is. She said it's not the right reference. So it's not the right reference for it. I'll have to look at it. I don't know, is what I'm saying. And they gathered their brethren, sanctified themselves, and went according to the commandment of the king, at the words of the Lord, to cleanse the house of the Lord. Then the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it, and brought out all the debris that they found in the temple of the Lord, to the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it out and carried it to the brook Kedron. And there they began to sanctify on the first day of the month, and on the eighth day of the month they came to the vestibule of the Lord. So they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days, and on the 16th day of the first month they finished. Then they went in to King Hezekiah and said, "We have cleansed all the house of the Lord, the altar of the burnt offerings and all of its articles, and the table of the showbread and all its articles. Moreover, all the articles which King Ahaz in his reign had cast aside in his transgression, we have prepared and sanctified, and there they are before the altar of the Lord." And so what I wanted to say is that it took them 8 days to just get to the vestibule. 8 days of carrying out debris just to get to the front door, basically. If you think about the entryway of the church here, and you think about, like, if you had a little porch that swooped in a little bit, and then you had the front door, you know, like it came in a little bit. Well, it took them 8 days just to get to the front door, basically. Now, you think about that from the Holy of Holies. It took them 8 days just to get to the place for the Holy of Holies. You can think about a picture of the temple. That was that much stuff crammed in that space that they were having to carry out of there. And they had to sanctify themselves and set themselves apart first to do this work. And then it took them another 8 days to get the holy place cleaned out. Not the Holy of Holies, but where the showbread is, and for the altar of incense, the holy place there. It took them 8 more days just to clean out that little square place. Can you imagine how much stuff must have been packed in there? That just blows my mind that they could have been that much stuff in there. So what I want us to think about is what kind of debris is in our temple. What do we need to be carrying out? And how much of it is there in there? Is there a lot of stuff in our hearts that don't belong there? Is there a lot of stuff in our thinking that don't belong there? We need to carry out that debris. So in Proverbs 6, 16 through 19, I hope I have this one right, Sarah.
Proverbs
6, 16 through 19. Give everybody a chance to get there. Yes.
These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea,
you must speak up some.
These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that hath shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren.
So what does those things say to you, like a proud look? What does that, what makes you, what do you think of when you think of a proud look?
Somebody I don't want to be around.
So imagine if that's in our heart.
It's not how you dress.
It's this haughtiness, or better than everybody else, and and you know, that attitude that's coming across in that haughty look. What about a lying tongue? What's that say to you? To me, it speaks of an habitual liar. You know, somebody that's just, you know, you can't hardly get the truth out of them. They just want to lie and lie and lie. What about hands that shed innocent blood? How does your version read that?
And hands that shed innocent
blood. Okay. Mm-hmm. I know yours reads a little bit different than mine. Murder. What else does it speak of?
Abortion.
Yeah, abortion.
Abortions and murder.
Yeah. But it also can speak of, you know, the like false accusations, and you're hurting somebody that that's maybe innocent, and it's a different kind of a more spiritual aspect of that. But it's basically that same kind of thing there, because it's murdering part of their lives that they were entitled to, but you're trying to take it away from them, basically.
I also think withholding.
Okay, that's good.
To
yeah, that's good too. And a heart that devises wicked plans. I believe yours says imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So a heart that devises wicked imagination. What does that say to you? What does that make you think of?
Doing evil.
They're
contemplating what it means. You know.
What they can get into. I had a friend one time, a lot of you know her, Trudy. She had this saying that I never have forgotten. That she said, I don't understand why people will work all day to steal something, but they won't work a lick at a job. You know, and so but that's kind of what a heart that devises wicked plans is what I was thinking about here. Because, you know, if you're planning to steal something, you'll work and work and work up a plan of how you're going to steal it. Whereas if you just went to work, you could have made the money to buy it, you know. So that's kind of what that speaks of to me. Anybody else got anything to add to that? Because the imaginations I thought was different too, because that means kind of to me like sitting around and trying to think up evil plans, you know.
Well, it's mainly us. What it hit me is like the people saying, okay, going to the store, but they're looking around, and it's like,
see what else they can get into just because they're going to the store. Yeah,
no, they're already at it.
Oh, they're already at that. Yeah,
but they're contemplating
what they could take advantage of here and there.
They've already done walked up.
Yeah,
got the a couple of shirts.
Already been stealing and so forth. All right, feet that are swift and running to evil. You ever see anybody that's ready to jump in when no matter what's going on, if you want to go do something bad, I'm just all in, let's go. You know, that's just an attitude that's there, and it's prevalent sometimes. A false witness that speaks lies.
Somebody that tries to says that, you know, we're supposed to give testimony on God's behalf. But this is where they're not.
This is kind of like a ministry of the accuser of the brethren, isn't it? So who sows, and one who sows discord among the brethren.
Yeah,
and basically planting discord,
yeah.
Trying to disrupt unity and to try to tear down, back to destroy another ministry of the devil. So. All right, now we're on Exodus 21 through 17, and we've looked at this kind of scripture here about the things that God hates. Let's look at the Ten Commandments and says, you know, he says what you should and shouldn't do. So let's look at those and see what he says. Exodus 21 through 17.
God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth.
You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the Lord, name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath day, Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear witness against your neighbor, a false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. So now let's look at some of these and see what God is saying here about what should belong in what he's asking for us. You shall have no other gods before me. So how does that apply to us in today's time?
It just, what it is telling us that we can't have like the internet where we can look up porn or
anything that you put between you and God becomes your God. So that's that, and I have no other gods before you. So anything that you put before him is basically you're exalting him above God, exalting that thing above God. So that's your false god or your idol, basically. You shall not make any carved image. Sometimes, you know, think about it, today's time. You've heard of workaholics? That's things that you do with your hands, you know, that it's more important to work than it is to do anything else. You know, you can't look away from that to do anything else. So we can liken it to those kind of things in today's time. You should not take the name of the Lord your God in vain.
Swearing.
No cursing or swearing. What else? What does in vain mean? In vain means without success, to no avail, to no purpose. So when we're using the Lord's name for no purpose, it's in vain. You see, so we don't need to be loosely using the Lord's name. That's taking the Lord's name in vain. When it's, you know, basically what Satan is trying to do with this is to, you know, Jesus said, in the name of Jesus, in other words, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. And so that name is powerful, and above every name, the name to which every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And so Satan is trying to water it down, so we just sling it around, and we don't really believe what we ask in his name is going to come to pass. You see what I'm saying? He is trying to water that down for us, so we have to pay attention to these things and know that we don't want that living in our temple. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. I know that some of you old-timers like me remember that when we was little, there was hardly anything open on Sunday. Do you remember that, Ray?
Yeah, I remember.
There wasn't children's sporting events either.
No, there was no sporting events taking place on Sunday. And there was, you couldn't find a restaurant open on Sunday. And you could barely find a gas station anywhere open on Sunday. And so, you know, this is what the world has taken Sunday and just tried to make it like another day. But the Lord is saying, take the Sabbath and make it holy. This is a day of rest. You need that rest to recover. You need that day to spend with God, to build yourself up and to be alive in him and to spend time with him and spend time with your family. And so this is important for us to remember to take this time and remember that Sabbath day and keep it holy. Honor your father and mother that your days may be long along the earth that the Lord your God is giving you. I know that some of us have fathers and mothers that was horrible. I know that. But, you know, most all of us can find one or two good things that we can think about anyway. Some of us have precious fathers and mothers. And so, you know, we're blessed to have had those. But some of us didn't have that. But, you know, we can still honor our Father God. you know, and remember him and honor him in all of the ways of our lives. We can do that. And there's a way to honor God, and there's a way to honor the Father. And so just remember that even if you did have parents that were just horrible, you still got a Father in heaven that you can honor. Do not murder. This is the main ministry of the devil. Do not kill, steal, or destroy. And then right on down below there, you shall not steal. There's the other one. I mean, these are he's stating out the very things that are ministries of the evil one. And so he's telling us this so we'll stay away from those ministries. And, you know, in today's time, it's easy. You can be working at your job and pick up a pen and take it home. Well, fact is, that's stealing. It don't belong to you. It belongs to the place you work for. And so you need to be, this is something I learned, a lesson that I learned some time ago. I was just, I said, God, you know I tithe all the time. You know I'm a giver. Where is the windows of heaven open? You know, where are they at? And he said, basically what he said to me is they're open if you just get under the spout. So like, you know, it's a window. It's not the whole sky, honey. So the window. So basically, he was telling me, if you don't want the enemy stealing from you, you quit stealing. And I said, God, I wouldn't steal off nobody for nothing in the world. Well, what in the world are you talking about? He said, what about that ink pen you got in your hand? I thought, oh, my God. What about those sheets of paper you ran off at the copier today? And I thought, oh, man, this is a lot more than I thought. And so, man, I pay for everything now. I taught me a lesson, and I never forgot it either, because that meant, he said, you know, we're just too careless. And what we allow, you know, it's acceptable to my employer. They didn't care if I took a pen home. You know what I'm saying? But it was the principle of it, that I did it without asking, you know.
You take, you said, like, where you talking about, rested on the seventh day. Mm-hmm. You take that away from God, you stole from him.
That's right. It's his day. You know, it's his.
But, you know, there's plenty of people. I've got to take the, I'm not from my jobs, but like, you see the pens on the tables, they're like at hotel rooms, or and that I automatically, without thinking, just...
Yeah, and those pens are for the inhabitant of that room. That is acceptable. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about taking them from the girl that's working at Walmart. You take her pen and take it home with you, because I like this pen. I'm going to keep it. You know,
the waitress.
Yeah, so those kind of things is what I'm talking about. Be careful what you're just
you're
loose with.
You're forced to say that she gives you the wrong change back and you don't get back to her.
Right.
Right. Or she has to put it back in herself.
Yeah, I've been one of those people that worked at a grocery store that had to put that $20 back in at the end of my shift.
Yeah.
So it's not fun to end up with the wrong change at the end of the night. Okay, now let's move on a little bit. So I want to talk about now, how long do you think it would take us to clean out our temple? And my answer to that when I thought about it was, God only knows. For each one of us, he only knows how it would take me, how long it would take you, how long it would take you. God is the only one that knows that, because he knows the work that each one of us has to do to clean up our temple.
Probably when you leave here.
Yeah. So, James 4:8 says, "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded." Cleanse your hands from what you're doing. You know what you're putting your hands to that's not of God. Cleanse your hands from that. Quit doing that. Purify your heart. Get this stuff out of your heart that don't belong in it. 2 Corinthians 6:16. "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." I want you to think about the Old Testament times, and can you imagine the holy temple of God? Here's the Holy of Holies, and out here in the next part, there sits an idol. What do you think about that? That'd be pretty horrible, wouldn't it? I mean, just the thoughts of it just makes me want to gag. So if he's saying what is the temple of God to do with idols? So why are we letting idols in our temple? And if that disgusts us to think about it from that direction in the Old Testament times, then think about it from the direction from us right now and how much more careful we should be about what we're letting reside in our minds and in our hearts and what we're letting come out of our mouth. So God wants us to be in agreement with his spirit, not with the spirit of the enemy. You see, he wants us to be in agreement with him and not with the enemy. So we don't want to be in agreement with an idol, which is a demon that the enemy is, you know, trying to get in a place inside. God, we are the temple of God, and God wants to dwell with us. He wants to live here. He wants to occupy us. He wants to stay with us. He wants to be our God, and he wants us to be his people. And so he's asking for a holy people, you know. And just like lax about picking up a pen, we've got to lax about a whole lot of things that we need to begin to come back and pay attention to. Now, there's a reason I'm getting to this at the end, so just bear with me.
So many times in the Old Testament, we're reading the Old Testament right now, but people would sin and sin and sin against him, and he would always give them another chance. He just loved them that much.
Yeah, and he loves us that much.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that he was not hurt and discouraged from his people, that they would just treat him that way. You know, and so, there's a scripture in the Bible that talks about grieving the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. These kind of things that we allow to stay in our temple grieves the Holy Spirit. So we need to be, we want the Spirit of God to flow. We want him to be alive here. We want him to save people. We want him to set us on fire. We want this great miracles to happen, and we want all this, but we don't want to cleanse our temple, so he's got something to flow through. You know, so we've got to learn that we have to start here to get to where we want to go.
And a lot of times it's not the big stuff that's tripping us up.
Like the little foxes spoil the vine.
The little foxes that spoil the vine.
Yeah. Ephesians 3:16 through 17, it says, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. God wants us to be one with him and one with each other. He wants us to be unified together, but that can't happen unless we're one with him. When we're one with him, then we're more able to tolerate other people and more able to unify with them. And when the children of Israel didn't drive out, those things that the children of Israel didn't drive out became their downfall. If we want this future and we want this church that's on fire, we've got to pay attention to the little foxes and drive them out. Because we can't let these little things stay around and expect to have all this great revival. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, we need to pay attention to this right now. Now, I've seen countless things over the last year where one night up here, I had a vision, and I was looking over in that corner over there, and they was like a warrior there, and he was turning so fast that I could not see any of his features. All I could see was the sword going, just like this. And I knew when I looked at him that there was others all over the room. And I knew that they were all pressed against the wall over here. And when I looked back over here, there wasn't a thing in here. They had cleaned it out, pushed it plumb out, and were driving it outside. And that's where they'd gotten it to the wall, and they were pushing it outside. Now, if God is going to come and do this for our church, we need to do this for this temple. You see what I'm saying? We need to let him have that kind of access to us. Because he's cleaning this place up, and he wants us to clean this place up. He wants to clean this place up. He wants us to cooperate with him. There ain't a one of you here that doesn't know that something in your life that God's telling you to quit. Clean that out of your life. Stop doing that. Every one of us has that. And so he's saying, listen up, I'm talking to you. Just like I talked to the children of Israel over and over and over and over about their sin. We have to realize these things, we can't just call them these pretty things like little foxes. You know, we've got to name it for the sin it is and get that driven out of our hearts and minds. Okay, so When the children of Israel didn't drive out, what they didn't drive out became their downfall. They learned their ways, and they went according to their ways instead of according to the way, Yahweh. And what's left in our hearts and minds that we haven't driven out that would lead us away from God or would lead us to neglect our God? You know, sometimes it's just as simple as, I want to watch the rest of this program, God. I know you're telling me to come to pray, but I just want to watch the rest of this. You see what I'm saying? We all have done that. We've all been there. You all know what I'm talking about. He's saying, when I call, answer. Come to me when I'm calling. Okay, now, John 14, 2 through 3 says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus has gone away to prepare a place for us, and we're all expecting that mansion, right? Every one of us is looking forward to our mansion. Every one of us is looking forward to our room in God's house. Every single one of us is looking forward to that. And so we know that Jesus is preparing this for us. He has made us this promise, and we know that he is doing that. But I want to ask us, if this is the temple of the Holy Spirit, what kind of place are we preparing for him? Does the place, is this place right here, does it look like a mansion for God to live in? Or does this look like a pigsty that we're inviting him to live in? So we have to just really ask ourselves some of these questions. These are hard questions, I know, I understand that. But when we begin to take inventory and we begin to think about what we've been thinking about, we begin to examine our heart and see what we're allowing there. And if you want to know what's in your heart, just listen to your mouth a little bit and you'll tell you exactly what's in your heart. You'll spit it right out. Just take notice of what you're saying. You got a clue right there what's growing in your heart. So when some of this stuff come out and you think, where did that come from? Well, it come from your heart. It's growing there. So we've got to just take ownership for what it is. If that's a bad weed, you need to pull it out. And so just think about your heart like your garden. And, you know, if it's got some hard places in it, the rocks need to be thrown out. Like bitterness and rebellion, those kind of things need to be thrown out. If you've got stuff growing in your garden that's weeds, that you know, just like all kinds of stuff that's just trashy and not good to grow there, you need to throw that out. If you've got grass growing in your garden, that's the flesh, you need to pull it out too. So we need to plow that stuff up and just let God have some good ground to plant in. Now, Ephesians 5:27 says that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she should be holy and without blemish. Jesus is coming after a bride, the church of all the born again. He's coming after that church it's not full of debris. But it's coming after that bride that's clean and decked out and ready for her marriage to the Lamb. And so, you know, I want to be one in that number. I'm ready. I want to go, you know. And so Jesus is coming back after a glorious church. And he wants us to be cooperating with him right now so that we can get these things out of our heart and mind. Because these things are hindering us more than we understand. These things are making us sicker than we understand. These things are taking a toll on us that we don't know, robbing us of our energy, our vitality, our strength. These things that we're letting remain here are the things that's dragging us down. And so if we get rid of them, we'll feel more life, more energy, more vitality. We'll feel closer to God. We'll have more light and brightness in us. You know, see, so he is doing the very thing. He's saying, like, here's what you need. And you just say, God, I just want some energy and strength and just, you know, like a side order of this, you know. But we have to understand if we get these things out that is tearing us down, God wants to build us up. He wants to have us to have that. So he wants us to wash our, he wants us to be washed with the blood of the Lamb. He wants us to repent for those things in our lives that are wrong and be washed by the blood of the Lamb. He wants us to wash ourselves with the water of the washing of the Word. He wants us to wash ourselves with the Word. Tell ourselves who we are in Christ. Tell ourselves that we're more than able. We are conquerors. We're able to do this. That if God told me I had to do this, this thing that you've asked me to give up, God, this thing that you've asked me to push out of my life, I ain't able to do that. Oh, yes, you are. God wouldn't ask you to do it if you weren't able. That would be cruel if God asked you to do something you weren't able to do. God, you are able. Now, you might not be able to do it in yourself, but you're able to do it through him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So, see, you know, that is the way we have to look at this and go forward to it. Tell ourselves who we are. Know who we are in him. Not be ashamed of who he is. And not be ashamed of who he is in us. And use our mouth to speak what is good. And he's coming after a church that's filled with glory. You know, he's wanting some light. You know, he looks at us, he wants to see some light, you know. So how do we get glory filled? Okay, for the first start, we have to be born again, right? So Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart one believes into the righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made into salvation. Then after that, after we are born again, his spirit comes to live inside of us. So 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20 says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? You were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. If you bought something, wouldn't you say that you own it? If you bought it and you paid for it? You know, he says, you know, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He says, we are not our own. We were bought with a price. We belong to him. And so he is asking us as his church, as his people, to realize that we that he is prompting us to get this stuff out of our lives and come to him. Because, see, when we get this stuff out, there's room for his spirit. We want the, you know, we're a spirit and body and soul. So you got the spirit inside the soul, inside the body. Okay, so if you got the spirit inside you, it wants to come out. It don't want to be confined to one room. You know, how would you like to take Jesus to your house and lock him up in one room and say, you stay there now, I want you to live with me, but just stay off there in that bedroom over there and don't come out here in the rest of my house. Now, does that make any sense to you? He don't want to stay in the bedroom just all the time. He wants to come out and be a part of every part of your life. And so when you're sitting on the couch and you're watching TV, he's sitting there with you. What you're watching on TV, you're exposing him to. So, you know, we need to take a clue about some of these things, you see, and get this stuff out of our life because we belong to him. But not only that, you know, not only does he want us to get these things out, he wants to fill us with what is good. And sure, we're saying, God, fill us with your spirit. Fill us with your spirit. How many done? Do I have? Well, is there any room to fill? We got it all junked up with debris. You know, we have to kind of get open our eyes here to the truth and realize we got to get some of this stuff out of our hearts and minds so that he can fill it up. So, how do I glorify God in my body? How do you glorify God in your body?
By praying.
How do we what now?
Glorify. How do you glorify God in your body, in your physical body? How do you glorify? Pray, you glorify God by cleaning out what's in the heart that's not right, or the mouth that's not right, or the mind that's not right. You can lift up your hands and praise him. You can sing. You can worship. You can praise him. You can glorify him. You can give a testimony. Like Janet said there, all of these things can come out and glorify him with our body. And it says, and also glorify him with your spirit. So how can we glorify him with our spirit? When we glorify him with our spirit, we're from our inmost being praising him, worshiping him, not just with our mouth, not just with our physical body, but with everything in us, we're worshiping him. We're giving him every bit of praise we got, everything we got. We're not distracted by anything else. We're not thinking about something else. We're just, our focus is all on him and giving him everything we got. So now, John 4:23 through 24 says, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. True worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And so the Father is seeking, he's looking for, he is longing for those to love him like that and to worship him like that. God is spirit, and if we want to worship him, we have to worship him with our spirit, that's inside of us. His spirit lives inside of us, and we have to worship him with our spirit where his spirit dwells in us. And so we have to dig down deep and pull out everything. Sometimes we come in here on Sunday morning and we're in corporate praise and worship, and we're thinking about everything under the sun. I got to fix dinner when I go home, and you got your list you're going through in your mind. You got, I wonder what's happening over here, and I wonder that about this situation over there. I need to make a note that I need to pray about that. Yeah, y'all get that? Yeah. So he's saying, forget all the distractions. On purpose, put the distractions aside so you can look on him and focus on him and loving him and worshiping him.
Yeah, you just say, look, be quiet on those things and let me take care of those things. Just bother with me.
Just focus on me right now.
Yeah,
just focus
be quiet
on
me. And let me take care of those. I'll take care of those. Just take care of me first.
Yeah. Yes. Look on me. Just look. Look right here. If you've got a kid, you know this. Mm-hmm. They take your hands, they put you on each side of your face, and they make you look right at them, right? Yeah. Everybody gets this. You know, sometimes I think that's what God feels about us. It's like, please, look here, you know. Yeah. So we've got to focus on him and worship him.
At my church in Somerset, I was discouraged because I was bored by the sermons, and I didn't feel like I was growing, and finally we had this retreat, and I got so intimate with God at that point. And then the following Sunday, it was like that preacher preached the most amazing sermon, and I'm like, wow, how did he turn around and be so good after like 5 months of boredom? And God was like, you finally listened.
Yeah, he more or less told you to be quiet.
Yeah, we've all had those aha moments, haven't we? Okay, 2 Chronicles 7:2. And the priest could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. So that means the light was shining out of it, that it just couldn't hold them more. It was just pouring out. 1 Kings 8:10-11 says, and it came to pass when the priest came out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. When God fills the temple, there's nothing else is needed. There's absolute nothing else. If you've ever been ministering to God and pressed all the way into his presence, you know, you've come and you've read the Bible, or you've prayed, or you've just worshiped him or whatever, and you've managed to press all the way into his presence, you don't need to say a thing there. I mean, you don't need to offer up any more prayer requests. You don't need to glorify him. He's just filling you. It seems like every need you got's met. Everything that you was concerned about is taken care of. In his presence, it's all fixed. You know, it's all right. It's not necessary to do anything else. It's just to absorb who he is. That's being filled with his glory. He wants to fill you with his presence. And it is such a sweet time, and it's such an awesome time. I remember that the first time this happened to me, I grabbed my prayer list out. I finally made it. You're my list, God, you know. And all of a sudden, it was just cold. And I thought, oh, my. I have offended the Holy Spirit. And it just broke my heart, you know. But God, we all have to learn, you know. We are all, and just because that happened once don't mean I made that mistake again, you know. So when we go into God's presence, just be prepared to just be filled up with him. And 2 Chronicles 5:11-14 says, and it came to pass when the priests came out of the most holy place, for the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without keeping to their divisions, and the Levites and who were the singers, and those of Asaph and Hermon and Jeduam and their sons and their brethren stood at the east end of the altar, clothed in white linen, having cymbals, stringed instruments and harps, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever, that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. And so there's a time that we want to, the priests had sanctified themselves. You want to get yourself ready. When you come in here on Sunday morning, you want to be ready to receive. Get up a little bit early while you're getting ready. Put the praise and worship music on. Praise him. Dance with him. Talk to him while you're getting ready. So when you get here, you're already ready to praise him. And so set yourself apart for this very purpose. I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm going to be with him today. I'm going to hear that sermon just like April was talking about. I'm going to get something out of it, God, and I can't wait to get there to get whatever it is that you've got for me today. Worshiping God, the singer stood at the end of the altar, clothed in white linen. White linen in Revelations 19:8 tells us that the white linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And so they were clothed in white linen, having cymbals and instruments and harps, all these different instruments. 120 priests sounding the trumpets. Imagine 120 trumpets going at one time. That would be awesome, wouldn't it? Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and the singers were as one to make one sound, one symphony, all of us together, blending together, praising him and worshiping the Lord. And they lifted up their voice with the trumpets, the cymbals, and the instruments of music, and praised the Lord. Listen to this. And pressing into his very presence is where we find his glory. When we're in that kind of place. But we have to worship him, folks. We can't just say, hello, God, it's good to see you today. I'll see you tomorrow. That's not going to get you into his presence. You know, you've got to spend some time worshiping him, thanking him for who he is. For his what he has done for you and all that he has helped you with and how that he has blessed you and on and on and on. Just talk to him about who he is and how grateful. Just thank you for that picture you painted for me this morning in the sky. I got to see it as I was driving to work this morning. I so love it when you do that, God. I'm just so thankful. One morning I was driving to work and I couldn't see my picture. I see over there in that one gap every morning. It was all just foggy over in there. And I thought, I missed my picture this morning, God. And he said, I burn off the dross. Just like the sun when it comes out, I can burn off the dross. And I thought, wow, I got a word this morning instead of a picture. So that's great. You know, God wants to talk to us all the time if we just listen. We just need to be listening. So the singers stood at the altar, clothed in white linen, having cymbals, 120 priests. When the trumpeters and singers were as one, in unity, makes one sound. You ever hear a symphony orchestra tuning up before it starts? It's not too pretty. But once that orchestra gets going and it's all saying together, man, it is beautiful. Everything flowing together and just making one true sound. And that's what we want to do when we come together. We want to be unified with each other, loving each other, pressing into his presence. And just holding each other up in prayer as we're praying at home and as we're just loving one another. You know, it's real love that people are looking for a real Jesus. They're not looking for substitutions. Did you ever go to the store and get strawberries and bring them home and you taste that strawberry and you think, where's the taste? You know? Now think about one of the strawberries that you went out and picked fresh out of the garden. It's just juicy with flavor and put that in your mouth. There ain't no comparison between the two. The world is looking for the real Jesus. They're not looking for a substitute. They're not looking for somebody that's halfway dedicated to him. They're looking for the real Jesus. They're looking for that picture of who he really is. And so we have to understand that we can give them that. He lives inside of us. We can show them who he really, really is. We can show them that love that God has for them. We can show them that compassion that the Lord has for them. We can show them the joy of the Lord. We can show him that God is strengthening us when we have no strength of our own. He can strengthen us and lift us up. And so we can show these things to the world because they're looking for a real Jesus. But we have to get the junk out of our temple so that he can fill us with his glory. So we're going to a place where God is the temple. And wouldn't that be awesome? Just imagine there's no temple. Revelation 21:22 says, "But I saw no temple in it," talking about the New Jerusalem, "for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple." And so we've got to practice now to just worship him. So you know, we used to sing one song a long time ago that said, "In 1,000 years from now, I'll still be praising him." You think about that now. 1,000 years from now, you know, if you're thinking about high praise and you're on Sunday morning here and you're just worshiping the Lord and you're praising him with everything you got, and you think 1,000 years from now I'm still going to be doing this. We got to practice now. So we practice praising him, we practice worshiping, we practice glorifying him in our body and our spirit. We press into his presence so that we can become glory filled. Because it's in his presence that we will see our sinfulness. It's in his presence that we will hate the sin that we have in us. It's in his presence that we will have the find the ability in him to just shed it away, just give it away. It doesn't. That thing that used to be so strong and used to have such a hold on me has nothing when I'm in his presence. So the more I go to his presence, the less hold it has. And it just begins to fall away. Those things that just begin to drop off of you, you know, just like... just drop off of you. It doesn't have any place with you anymore. It doesn't reside here. It doesn't live here. It just drops by the wayside because it's not so much work to get rid of it. You see, it's just going to his presence that makes you and enables you to get rid of it. Psalms 24:7-10. I'm going to end with this scripture. And it says, "Lift up your head, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your head, O you gates. Lift up your everlasting doors, and the King of glory will come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Man, that is awesome, isn't it? Just think of that's just awesome, awesome. So when he's talking about the lift up your heads, what do you think that means? Yeah, lift up your look at me. I can remember when I first came here, Pastor Mike would do this all the time. I'd be like this right here, and he'd go like this. Made me look at him. You know, and I'd look at the ground, you know, because I had no self-esteem. And he'd go like this all the time, make me look at him, lift my head up. And that always made me think of that because it's lift up your heads. Look up here. I want your attention right here. Open up those gates. What are our gates? Tell us. What are our gates? What are our gates?
Our heart.
Our heart? Okay. What?
A way into your heart.
A way into your heart? So what? How is the way into your heart? So your mouth is a way? Mouth? Okay. Let me just stop here because we're going to need to finish up. Okay, your gates are your eyes, what you set before your eyes, your ears, what you let your ears listen to, the taste, taste of him and see that he is good. Your same five senses are your spiritual senses, which is your gates. So you open those gates up to let him in. You shut them against the enemy. Remember the watchman on the wall? He would let in what is good and keep out what is bad. So you got to watch what your gates are looking at. You know what you're letting into your gates, what you're letting your eyes look at, what you're exposing your ears to hear, and you know what you're tasting of to see if it's good. You know, taste of the Lord and see that it is good. You know, when you're reading the Word and you're just eating that Word up, it tastes good. You know, it satisfies your soul, it feeds you, and so all of these things that the Lord wants us to help us with that. And so it says, fling wide the doors. Fling them wide. God, come in here. We want you here. We invite you, Lord. We don't want to have a thing shut against you, Father. Let's look to him right now and pray just 1 minute. Father God, we just ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we want to fling wide the doors, Lord. We want to open all the gates to you, Lord Jesus, and give you full access. Come in, Lord Jesus. Flood our hearts and minds and soul, God, with just your presence and your loveliness and your vision of who you are and what you want for us, God, and what you want for this church. Just bring that vision here, God, of what you want. God, feel us, God, that we can see it, God, that we can hear your voice. Help us, God, to carry out the debris from our temple, God, that we might have room for all that you've got for us, Father. We're just experiencing a little part of it, God, but God, help us to move the stuff out, that we can experience your fullness, the fullness of your love, the fullness of your joy, the fullness of your peace, the fullness of your kindness and your goodness and your gentleness and your faith, God. I pray, God, just open up. Just we fling open the doors, God. We invite you in. We invite you into every part, every access, every closet in our minds and our hearts and soul, every bitter, every place in our marriage, every place in our family, every place in our church, every place in our workplace. We invite you into every part. We withhold nothing from you, God. We ask you and invite you to come in every single place. Lord, we just give you thanks and praise. You're the great I am, Lord, and we just love you, Lord. And we just want so much, God, for you to occupy our temples. And we ask you, God, come occupy in Jesus' name.